You know, to be a Christian, you have to be crazy. Did you know that? You really do. Because you'd really be a follower of God, you can't be have starched clothes on and, you know, be all, you know, because that isn't what Jesus did. I used to be like that. And one day God said, why don't you let my people laugh in my house? Well, somebody had that picture of Jesus laughing. I said, that's terrible. That's awful. And he said, God said, do you think my son doesn't laugh? He was probably laughing at me at that point. So God wants us to have a good time following him. And sometimes the house of God is the only place you can have that. Because, you know, you don't have the devil come and trip you up all the time. So let's just continue to rejoice in the house of God. And how many are starting to hear songs in your head all the time? Say, that's God. He wants us to be singing and rejoicing because all of heaven is singing and rejoicing. How do I know that? Because God said so. Because God said so. Amen. Well, Father, I truly do thank you and praise you for being in our midst already. I thank you, Father God, that you're working on these little sort of strict hearts that are in here, and you are molding them and melting them, Father God, to have your heart of joy and happiness and rejoicing and dancing and leaping and jumping like your children did in the Old Testament. And Father God, we repent that we really walked away from that. But Father God, we thank you right now that this morning you touched the people's feet for dancing and it brought joy into the house. And Father God, I felt like just like David danced on the street. He wasn't dancing for people to watch. He was dancing for you. And Father God, that's what your children were doing this morning, just dancing for you. And we just thank you for it. We praise you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as I was leaving my driveway, my grandson ran up to me and he said, you want to see what that guy sitting in the White House is doing? I said, what's he doing? And he handed me this little bag. This is a crack bag. Everything you need, everything that you need to do to crack is in here. It also has the instructions on how to do it and what to do if you mess up. They're handing these out free, so our tax dollars are paying for them. In here's glass tubes, rubber tubes, little thing, everything you need to do crack right there. And when they went to the clinic in Baltimore, they gave everybody one of these as they left. This is what this guy in the White House, I think his name is Biden, this is what he's doing. So there you go. Yeah, he's saying he didn't do it, but here they are. You know? I just want to let you know that that's what your tax dollars are buying now. And, you know, they're arresting kids for being on drugs, but yet, you know, they're handing out the kit. It says, why this kit? Sterile supplies help prevent hepatitis C. So they're just helping you along. What has this world come to? And, you know, I was talking to Brother Aaron right before we opened. I was talking about how they're getting, is it choreography? I can't say that word. Choreography? In the house of God now. And Lauren Wells, whatever his name is, Lauren Wells, isn't it? He was up there singing a Christian song, and he was being Michael Jackson with all the gyrations and all these guys behind him all dressed up dancing. Like, I said, this is going too far. They're bringing the world into the church in praise and worship. And I read where this is what's happening now in the houses of God. And that's not spirit-led. That's devil-led. You know, guys, so there's a whole lot to be praying about. The devil is doing his thing, but are we doing our thing by praying? Amen. You read the Old Testament, they always danced before the Lord. And Miriam, when they went across the Red Sea, you know, that's the first thing they did. They got the timbrels out and danced for joy. That one whole scripture is a song they sang to the Father. But now they perverted that. That's a shame. And I'm just bringing it up so that you all don't go down that road because it's not God's road. And I believe God gave us a word where this is a time that the people are going to be leaving the house of God. Where are you going to be? Amen. Any day now, I think next month maybe, God's glory is going to drop in all of its fullness. Are you going to be able to stand the glory? Yeah, I was reading where, you know, when they crossed the Jordan River, you know, the people, they were in the glory of God all the time. And God led them all the time. And if you're walking around in confusion and you don't know what's going on, then you're not being led by the glory of God. God has done a lot of talking right now. Are you listening? I was getting ready to study the other day, and I hadn't yet turned my computer on, but God said to me, Teresa Michelli, you tell her that to give forth that word that I've given her. And I don't know if she was getting it before I sent it or not, but then in the meantime, I sent her that. That's all I said, one line, I think it was. And then so then God started dictating this morning's message, and when her letter, when her email came out with the word on it, it goes along with the teaching. See how God works. And I don't know what she was doing when she got my email, but you know, she might as well get used to me. You know, because when God does these things, He does them.
Can I share what?
Sure. Give her a microphone.
You know, at that time, I was a little bit down. My son was supposed to come. Haven't seen him in months. Well, his car broke down. He never did get to come. He was coming for my birthday. And we were all going to just be barbecue and all. And I was sitting there, and along came your message. And just like that, I came right out of that. And I said, Lord, do you have a word? And it came. So we can't dwell in our own selves.
Right.
And that's when it just like that, the Lord said, I have a word, and it came.
Say, if God said you have a word, you have a word. We posted it. It was posted the other day, same day it was given. But this is just how God works with me. How does He work with you? And are you obedient to do what He's telling you to do? And like I say, He's doing a lot of talking right now, but are your ears in tune for His voice? A lot of instruction going on out there right now from the Father. And what did He say in that prophetic word? You already have the instruction manual. Now just use it and go on. Well, this morning we're talking about, I just titled it Instructions and Correction from the Father. I didn't know what else to title this. So God said the attack on the body of Christ is going to become unprecedented. The weak will not make it. Have I not been asking you to build yourselves up in your most holy faith? Let's stop here. How many of you who are really strong in the Lord, right now it's all you can do to make it? You know, and we're under heavy warfare. And you know, and I'm hearing God say, you're being bombarded on all sides. And I see a big cannon aimed at us. But God said, it'll never get to you. And God is in this warfare. Remember, He said He's fighting our battles for us. He's in this warfare. And we can't concentrate on the warfare. We have to keep our eyes on the promises of God. God told me yesterday, I was praying about something. He said, daughter, if you'll leave this in my hands, it will be done correctly. And there will be no hard feelings. So, you know, I guess I must have been going to do something in the flesh, and God says, no, leave it in my hands. So are you listening to God all the time? Is He constantly leading, guiding, directing you? Or is that Jezebel spirit that you carry around and said, I'm going to do it, I don't care what anybody says? You know, because that is happening too. There's a lot of Jezebels still in the body of Christ. All right, God says, you thought you were walking by faith before, but in this hour you will find out what true, unadulterated faith consists of. The barbaric darkness will surround on all sides. Your rights will be stripped from you. You will be tested and tried like no other time in church history. The enemy is arrayed on all sides, and only the calm assurance that you are mine will keep you in that place of perfect peace. So I looked up John 10:27. It says, Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Remember this. This is your calm assurance. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, I know that somebody's praying against me, and I was really, really, really super sick last night, and I was praying, and God said, daughter, that's when he said, daughter, remember Isaiah 54. And verse 17 tells you, no weapon formed against you is going to promise. You are not going to die, but you shall live. So it doesn't matter who's praying against you, you know, or what the enemy has arrayed against you, you have to stand on the promise that God gave you. All right. And I think it's wonderful. When I first started ministry, he gave me that chapter and he said, this is your chapter. You stand on it continually. Do you have a chapter you can stand on? Do you have a promise you can stand on? Then you're going to have to revert back to that over and over and over again. What are the promises that God has promised you? God told me something the other day, what I thought was sort of interesting. You all know this, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. I was praying about something, and God said, daughter, just listen. He said, when you pray about something, and I talk to you about it, that is the answer. And then if you bring it back up again, and then again and again, you're taking yourself into confusion. You're trying to hear something that I am not going to say. So if you're praying about something, and he's giving you the answer, that's it. That's it. Doesn't matter how long it takes to get there. That is the answer. Quit praying and trying to get God to change it, or even do it quicker. Did you get that? All right. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I had those two scriptures because God said, the barbaric darkness will surround on all sides. Your rights will be stripped from you. You will be tested and tried like no other time in church history. What do you think about that, Brother Alan? The enemy is arrayed on all sides, and only the calm assurance that you are mine will keep you in that place of perfect peace. So John 10, 27 through 30, and Psalm 18, 2, 3 is the scriptures I'll be standing on in calm assurance that no matter what the enemy throws my way, he can't kill me. All right? Then I said, for further encouragement, I suggest you read the entire chapter in that Psalm 18. I'd read that whole chapter because it's really good. Now, there is a peace that God said, there is a peace that passes all understanding that you have not tapped into as of this moment. I believe that. It is the place reserved for those who have determined in their heart of hearts that no matter what, God will prevail. All right. Since time began, the enemy has been about his business. Never for one second did he deviate from his plans and purpose for my body. You know, the devil's cunning. He's not like us. He isn't wishy-washy. He's very cunning. And God, since time began, the enemy has been about his business. Never for one second did he deviate from his plans and purpose for my body. You see, little ones, you truly are in a tug of war. You see, little ones, you truly are in a tug of war every day of your lives, period. Both the adversary and I are vying for your soul. Every day, the enemy's hoping that'll be the day that he will discourage you enough that you walk away. And every day Jesus is saying, keep going, just keep going, just keep going. He's forever interceding for us. God said, you cannot see the entire puzzle at this given moment, but before long you will see the puzzle pieces being finalized. You will begin to see the entire picture, but until that day comes, you must abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you dare not deviate from my plan and purpose for your life. It doesn't matter what you want to do. What is God's plan and purpose for your life? Whatever he prophesied to you, that is his plan and his purpose for your life, and he is working it out. Just like when he said, my glory is coming. It's been, 10 years? But he said his glory is coming. His glory is coming. It's just going to come when he wants it to come. Then God says, give honor where honor is due, and never for one instant give the adversary any honor, period. He will never again have a place of honor in my kingdom. I threw him out of heaven, never to reinstate him. Some of you need to quit giving the devil honor in your own lives. You, when he comes at you and plagues you, you need to quit giving him honor. Just tell him to get his little stinking self out of your life. God says, as some that are wandering on the earth, I'm going to say Satan had the audacity to believe he was the king of glory. In other words, he's saying some people are high and lifted up, walking here on this earth and think they are God. That's what he's saying there. Then Satan had the audacity to believe he was the king of glory. Children, there is only one maker of heaven and earth, and there will never be another. I formed this entire universe, and I called light to come forth, and come forth it did. There is only one God. And we can't have all these idols that we idolize. There's only one God. God said, I also told my children to walk under the shadow of the Almighty. Some do, and some do not. And you can read that in Psalm chapter 91. Those that do not walk under the shadow of the Almighty will reap rewards of disobedience. And those that do will reap eternal salvation. Let's read that again. I also told my children to walk under the shadow of the Almighty. Some do and some do not. And that's in Psalm 91. Those that do not will reap rewards of disobedience, and those that do will reap eternal salvation. God says sin is running rampant all across this land. They are denying the existence of my son Jesus of Nazareth, but they too shall see the completed picture, and it shall be too late. You find that in Matthew 25:1-13. God said, I've allowed my prophets to see the narrow door of opportunity to repent and enter in. That door is closing rapidly. And I believe with all my fiber that the church, if you didn't enter in, you're finished. Because God has been saying that he's going out into the highways and the byways, and he's done all the shaking in the house of God he's going to do. And you know where you're at. And did you accept the shaking? Did you enter in, or are you still doing other things? The God said, the harvest must be brought in. My timeline is right on schedule. We must keep it there. And I looked up timeline, and from the Old Testament, God always had a timeline for everything he was going to accomplish. He had a timeline, and he always worked in that timeline. And things were accomplished in his timing, not anybody else's. So he said, the harvest must be brought in. My timeline is right on schedule, and we must keep it there. There is no time for meandering around with your heads in the clouds. It is time to work, and work we shall. You will be busier than you can imagine. And John 9 said, work while it is still light. And John 9:4-5 says, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. God has been calling us to get busy and do the work of the Father, and people are still doing the work of themselves. And I don't know about you, but I have been finding that I don't have enough time to do the things that I need to do. I always put God first, and then I find out that I have other things lacking that I haven't been able to do because God's been taking up more of my time now than he was before. I'm not complaining to God. But I'm just telling you that's the way it's working right now. God said, I have spoken a word and stated that get your houses in order before time runs out. The clock is ticking rapidly, and time is running out for those who sit in the house of the Lord and wallow in their sinful nature. I have spoken a word and stated, get your houses in order before time runs out. The clock is ticking rapidly, and time is running out for those who sit in the house of the Lord and swallow in their sinful nature. God said, when my son Jesus comes to bring the body of believers home, he will come suddenly in the twinkling of an eye, and there will be no time to get it together. And let's read Matthew 24:36. But the exact day and hour, no one knows that, not even the heavens angels, not even the Son. Only the Father knows when Jesus is going to come back the second time. So all these people that had their congregations go to the mountains and everything else, they didn't even know the word. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah's. And God told me in 77 when I was born again, the first thing he told me is, daughter, you're living in the days of Noah. That's been a long time. All right. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up to the day Noah boarded the ark. And so what God was saying is, you're living in the days of Noah. Everybody's just going about their own business and they're not caring about their salvation. They knew nothing until the flood hit and swept everything away. The Son of Man's arrival will be like that. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Remember that one of the services just recently, I was sitting there, and God said, you are in the hour of the men working in the field, and one is taken. That was just a couple services ago. And it said, two men will be working on the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left behind. So stay awake, alert. You have no idea what day your master will show up. But you do know this. You know that if the homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would arrive, he would have been there with his dogs to prevent the break-in. Verse 44 says, be vigilant just like that. You have no idea when the Son of Man is going to show up. And you really, truly, you know, whenever everybody's talking about the rapture, I said, God, when is the rapture? And God said, the rapture is the day you die. You know, you're looking for everybody to be taken up into the air, but your rapture is the day you die. Your days that are numbered might happen before the big rapture. You see what I'm saying? So if you're waiting for, you think you have all the time in the world, you know, you don't know if you even have another second to breathe. You don't know when your days that are numbered are up. You need to start thinking about these things. You need to keep your life in order at all times. Then God goes on to say, woe, woe, woe. All across the land, many woes will be heard, great weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I will not reopen the door of salvation to those who sat in my houses, steeped in their sins, and did not change their wicked, evil ways. God is preparing this church for the glory drop. There's no one sitting in here in the sound of my voice that can say, God has not been warning us. But you can say, you have not been heeding the warnings. And so if you miss out with God, that it's your fault, not God, surely not mine, and it's not God's, it's your fault because you thought you're like Samson, who thought you had another day to get up and shake your head and go on, only to find out that God had departed from you. All right, Luke 13:23 says, a bystander said, Master, will only a few be saved? And Jesus said, whether few or many is none of your business. Put your mind on your life with God. You know, my mother always said, Barbie, everybody has to carry their own hide to heaven, because that's what her grandfather taught her. And she always taught us that. Listen to her, they're staying here. Put your mind on your life with God. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires your total attention. A lot of you are going to assume that you'll sit down to God's salvation banquet just because you've been hanging around the neighborhood all your lives. Well, one day you're going to be banging on the door, wanting to get in, but you'll find the door locked. And the master saying, sorry, you're not on my guest list. You'll protest, but I've known you all our lives. Only to be interrupted with his abrupt, your kind of knowing can hardly be called knowing. You don't know the first thing about me, says Jesus. That's when you'll find yourselves out in the cold. Strangers to grace, you'll watch Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets march into God's kingdom. Verse 29 says you'll watch outsiders stream in from east. They're going to watch outsiders stream in from east, west, north, and south and sit down at the table of God's kingdom. And all the time you'll be outside looking in and wondering what happened. This is a great reversal. The last in line put at the head of the line, and that so-called first ending up last. And a year ago, God said, right now, we're in a time where the first is going to be last, the last is going to be first. In other words, the people who thought they were saved are not going to be saved, and they're not going to make heaven. And the people who thought they would never make heaven are going to make heaven. You can't blame your salvation, what state it's in, on anybody but yourself. You need to always understand you're going to carry your own hide, not my hide, with you to heaven. You have to work out your own salvation. What does God's word say? Daily. This once saved, always saved is not true. It's not in the Bible. And those pastors who have been preaching that, and the people who don't read the word for themselves and find out that's not the truth, are going to be in for a rude awakening on that judgment day. God said a broader spectrum lies before you, and that is the harvest. I have now turned my eyes totally and completely on the harvest. And your houses shall be full to overflowing with lost souls that need to hear my gospel of repentance and salvation. What did he say? I have now turned my eyes totally and completely on the harvest. In other words, he's not dealing with people in the church no more. He's on a timeline, and he needs to stay in this timeline. Excuse me. Now he says, is your house a house of worship? He's talking about this church. Will it be open to receive all the lost and dying that I desire to send in? Will it be a hospital that will tend to the wounds of the lost, or will you open the wounds wider? And Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's what Jesus did. Do we do that? Do we heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds? Or are you an individual who just keeps tearing the wounds open, you know, pulling the scab off and letting the wound be bare to heal all over again? God said, there is much you need to contemplate. There are many stirrings in the winds that are blowing. Just as the winds are blowing in the natural, my supernatural winds are also blowing across this great, mighty nation. God says, come to the courtrooms of heaven, state your cases, contend with me. And you can see that in Psalm chapter 35. Beloved, let's get it together every day, not just every now and then. Get it together every day, not just every now and then. Then God goes on to say, their prayer closets are so empty. My people are too busy with everyday mundane things to spend an hour in their prayer closets. You need that fellowship time now more than ever. You need to hear my still small voice so you will not be deceived. And you can find that in 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, and Matthew 26, verses 40 through 41. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, and Matthew 26, 40 through 41. Then God goes on to say, children, 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 are you listening? Are you comprehending what I am saying at this given time? Be motivated to move and be loved. God wants to love you, and some of you will not yet accept his love. You're still walking in all that bitterness and all that anger and all that junk that other people did to you, and you won't give it up. You won't allow God to love you through all that junk. God said, be motivated to take this agape love to the lost and the dying. You cannot minister to anybody else when you're messed up. Do you ever listen to somebody that's angry and frustrated and they're trying to tell somebody else about God? It comes all out in their voice. They're not at peace. You have to have the agape love of God in you. Understand that God really does love you. Understanding that God allowed everything that happened in your life to happen for a purpose. I don't care if you like what happened in your life or not. God allowed it to happen. Okay, so you didn't want to line up with God. You wanted to go down a side road. God says, go ahead. Like he told me, you can go around this mountain as often as you want. I'll be here when you decide to get off the mountain. You know, God does not stop you when you decide to take a side road. He does not go against your will. Just like the time whenever you know, all that stuff happened in the church and somebody said, you need to be angry. And I said, I'm not angry. Then they said, you need to be angry. And finally, I said, yeah, you know, I need to be angry. And God said, don't go down there. I said, well, if I want to, God. For 1 year, I had to pay for that statement. I had never made that statement again. So God said, yeah, he said, okay, you want to be angry and you want to get bitter? You go right ahead because I'm going to step aside until you decide to get it together. So God had nothing to do with that. Choices we make. Decisions we make. We either walk in the flesh or we walk in the spirit. I learned a very valuable lesson. And I hope when I give that testimony that you learn a lesson too. God said, the people you see in the marketplaces are lost within and without. The inside is searching and cannot find the peace. The outside is searching and all they see is a broken church. Let's read that again. The people you see in the marketplaces are lost within and without. The inside is searching and cannot find the peace. The outside is searching and all they see is a broken church. Then God said, stop. Remember the time you were lost and undone. Remember the time when you had no peace and no place to rest your weary heads. Remember the divine interventions that turned your life totally and completely around. Remember, remember, remember. The reason why I always take people in and I never even ask God if I should is because I never forget the time I was put out on a road with no place to go at the age of 10 and cried out to God and didn't even know what I was doing. And God told me what to do. I never want to see anybody out in the cold with no place to lay their head. And the reason why I used to pick up hitchhikers is because one winter night we was home in Pennsylvania and we saw a man running along the road. And I said to my first son, my husband, I said, that's my brother. Stop picking him up. He laughed. He said, do him good to run the rest of the way. And 45 minutes after we'd been at the house, here he came, about frozen. And I was so mad at the husband at that time. I could have knocked him out of the car. Because there, I looked, and there was my brother running in the cold, and he wasn't dressed for that. His car had broke down. So from that point on, if I saw anybody along the road, I'd pick him up. And one night I left here, and there was a guy right up the road here, and I said, he was walking. I stopped and picked him up. He got in, and he said, Barbara. And I said, yeah. He says, don't pick up any more strangers. I'll be the last person you ever pick up. Then we went up the road a little bit, you know, and he said, I want to get out right here. I think that was an angel. I really do. But God was giving me a warning. He said, you never know what people will do to you when you pick them up. But see, up to that point, I picked up anybody that was walking. You see, you know, you take things that happen in your life and I hope you turn them to God and do the God thing instead of being ignorant about it. Please don't go pick up hitchhikers. I didn't say that. I was giving you a testimony. God said, all right, God, I'm going to read that again, Nancy. Remember the time when you had no place and no peace and no place to rest your weary heads. Remember the divine intervention that turned your life totally and completely around. Remember, remember, remember. Never for one instant forget from whence you came. I'm sorry, where you came from. Then he says, then, when you have all that together, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. They are waiting for a good Samaritan. Are you the one? You know, it hurts my heart sometimes to see people down and out. And even when you're trying to be a good Samaritan, other people are snickering behind their back and making fun of you. And I thought, where is God in you? You should be the one being a good Samaritan here. You should be the one that's working your way to heaven. Then they ridicule you and talk about you behind your back. You know, I get so upset with that. I really do. They forget where they came from. They forget that God sent a good Samaritan to them, to help them. God said, only time will tell how many souls you will reach. Only time will tell how dedicated you were to bringing in the harvest. Are you really ready to go down into the throes of hell and pull the lost souls out of the abyss? And you can find that in Jude chapter 1, verse 22. And it says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. In other words, you shouldn't have compassion on everybody because there's just some that were never ordained to go to heaven. And a lot of people say that's not godly, but it's so. And verse 23 said, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. There's some we're just going to have to go down in the throes of hell in prayer and pull them out. But are you really ready to spend the time and the energy it's going to take to do that? Some of our family members, the reason why they're still sliding down into the abyss is because you talk about them, but you don't pray for them. You're not doing the works you have to do to pull them up out of the pit and get them saved. You're too busy looking at what they're doing or doing and saying, too busy judging and not understanding. In my own home, people don't understand me. They don't understand how I do something for one person and but a totally different thing for another person. It's because of what God's speaking to me. He's shown me their hearts and he's telling me things about them. And I always do what God tells me to do. Amen. God says, now, right now is a day of salvation. The harvest is ready. Are you one of the harvesters? You know, what are you going to do when the lost souls start coming into the church? Are you still going to be so bound up in your own life's mess that you in no way can you help anybody else out of their mess? And there are people that are sitting in this church, you're so messed up in your own life mess. And the reason why you are is because you are not doing your work. You are not fighting. You know, you have to fight every day. If you're a true child of God, you're going to fight every day. You're going to fight the enemy. In this church, there's people who want everybody else to fight for them. That isn't going to work. These people you're wanting to fight for you might up and die. A hurricane could come through and kill everybody, right? Then what are you going to do? And you're just standing there, naked and undone. It's time that the body of Christ, just like he said, when they look at the church, they see a church is messed up. And Mary's, God's saying to you that just let your family in his hands. You fret too much. He has them, and he's doing what he needs to do to bring them to the place they need to be, to do what he wants them to do in his kingdom. He just wants you to have fun. And you're having a hard time with that. God said, you've got to let it go. You have to let God work this out. He can do it. Been taking a long time, but he can do it. Everybody in this room can say it's been taking God a long time. You wanted it done 10 years ago. But God keeps saying, this is a day of salvation. And he just said here, right now is a day of salvation. So this is a time that God, excuse me, if you're letting go of your family and letting God take care of them, this is a time he's doing that. This is a time he's working on their hearts, turning them around. And I know it's hard to watch your kids continue to go down the wrong road. I know that it just tears your guts out sometimes. But we have to know that God knows what he's doing. And God said to me, you have to give me permission to do what I have to do to get this straightened out. And Teresa reminded me the other day, God said, I wasn't going to like some of the things he had to do to get the house back in order. And I had forgotten that. And I think a lot of us forget little things like that. Maybe you don't. I do. My mind's too busy with other things, right? to keep remembering everything that God reminds me. And he used Teresa to remind me the other day. I said, yeah, you know, he really did say that. And so I said all that to say this. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Hurt really bad as we watch our kids go totally down a wrong road. And God has to let them do that because he knows that's the only way he's going to get their attention. And when they're down there, he'll turn them around and bring them back. But do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I would say some of you don't. You don't believe that. And that's why you're in the twit that you're in, because you're not trusting God to take care of everything. The enemy's always going to be by your side, excuse me, nagging at you. Well, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. You're going to have to close him off. Just close him off and just do what God's telling you to do. And don't worry about what other people are saying. They're going to talk about you behind your back anyhow. Come on. Yeah. That's just, and God's going to let you know they're conniving behind your back. And he tells me that. And then he tells me what they're doing. So, see, I don't have to be upset. I just have to let God be God. Are you allowing God to be God? He said a lot here today, didn't he? A lot of different things. I hope that you heard it. And I hope you took it into your spirit. And I hope that you know that you know that you know that if you're not right, you might never get right. Because God has given us chance after chance after chance. And, you know, when God was dictating this, and I said, God, I don't even like to say this. And he said, you say what I tell you to say, and I'll take care of the rest. Now it's going to be you and God. And you, when it's just you and God, that gets a little hairy sometimes. Because you have done messed up too many times. And then he's going to take you to the woodshed. And you're not going to like what's in the woodshed. Come on. So I did this. This is a good title, wasn't it? Instructions and Correction from the Father. Did you receive it all today? Did you really receive it all today? Every one of you that have a true calling upon your life, the enemy's after you. He wants to stop you before you go any further because it's so close to the glory drop. And he's fighting as hard as he can fight. And he's really dirty. He does not fight nice. But you're going to have to be a strong tower that others can run into. Even if you have to just lay in your bed and weep. God, I don't understand. I can't do nothing else. And just lay there and cry. And then he brings a peace over you. And you know it's going to be all right. Whatever they did to Jesus, they're going to do to you. That's a given. So if you're going to follow Jesus, then look and see what they did to him. And you can expect the very same thing, because God told me that when I first started the ministry. It took me a while. I'm a little dense. It took me quite a few years to understand what God was saying. But I finally realized, I said, hey, people don't like me. They didn't like Jesus. People ridiculed me. They ridiculed Jesus. And no matter how much close you're walking to God and how you know that everything you're doing is from God, people are going to condemn you and come against all that. They're going to talk about you. They're going to say all manner of evil about you. We've been there and done that, have we not? That's what you're supposed to tell the new converts. You're not supposed to let them come into the body of Christ thinking, hey, now you've come into the peaches and cream. You just come into the briar bushes. But God is able. Because you're still standing, you can say, I'm a testimony. My God is able. How many of you sometimes you're crippled up and you're saying, God, I'm a testimony. It's all you can do to get up and walk. And I don't mean sickness. I mean, you know, the devil has just pressed you down and pressed you down and pressed you down. God's saying there are those of you in here that you know that you know that you know that you're on a right road with God, and you do weep and you do sit down sometimes, and you just say, I can't, don't think I can go any further. But you also know that God comes and picks you up and dusts you off and encourages you to go a little bit further. And God said, you are the ones I'm talking to right now. I want you to know that this road that you're on is going to become smoother, and you will no longer think you can't make it, because I am strengthening you right now as you sit in your seat. I am strengthening you to endure every storm that comes your way. And you are going to be just like my son Jesus. When the enemy comes to take you, you just walk on like he doesn't exist. And you will defeat him at every turn. This is what I'm giving you this day. A promise that you will stay on the right road, and the enemy will not be able to stop you. Now, if there's anybody else in here, you know that you're not on the right road, or you're on the right road and you're just walking in confusion, you don't know what to do. If you want to come to the altar, God's going to touch you with a special touch. He's going to do something with your mind, and he's going to restore your mind to newness of life, and you will no longer walk in confusion. And that's what the altar is open for. And if nobody wants to come to the altar, I'm just going to dismiss you.